Hello, WHO. This is Herb Planbeck with the Third Army, again broadcasting from somewhere along the Western Front. Wherever I've gone on my assignment with our fighting men, I've found thrilling and challenging activities. But of all the enjoyable experiences, none has surpassed my visit with the men and boys in the 718th Railway Battalion. This is the unit that came into Normandy last summer and has written a brilliant chapter in this war. The unit has had little, if any, recognition, and as I see it, deserves a great deal. Proof of their meritorious work is seen in the Bronze Star citation for the battalion's efforts in the French campaign, and in the place of honor its officers and men hold in the hearts of the men who depend on this unit for supplies. I met members of this outfit in the battalion headquarters, an old four-wheeled French baggage car, where Sergeant Satori of upstate New York is in charge of records. To my delight, nearly a dozen Iowans appeared, all glad to meet someone from home and to again see an ear of Iowa corn. We'll hear from some of them in this broadcast. Next door, or rather in the next car, a six-wheeler, I found Major Robert Wright of Johnstown, Pennsylvania, the commanding officer. Major Wright has an interesting office, with Old Glory proudly displayed on one wall and a huge captured Nazi banner on another. Major Wright, we want you to speak first. Where did this battalion have its beginning?
Down in Texas, at Fort Sam Houston, then to Claiborne, and then overseas.
And when did they come overseas?
Last July.
Very briefly, what is the unit's responsibility?
Our responsibility is to move supplies and troops into combat zones just as far as possible.
And what type of equipment do you have?
Quite a variety, Mr. Feinbeck. We use American, Belgian, Luxembourg, French, and German locomotives, and the rolling stock consists of our own, as well as French, Italian, German, and other cars.
Of course, we won't reveal anything about our present location and assignment, but everyone knows you're supplying the men up on the lines. We ought to have a word, though, of some of the campaigns the 718th has been in.
We have been in a lot of them. We have followed the Third Army from Foligny in Normandy all the way through Paris, on to Nancy and elsewhere. When the breakthrough came, our battalion was called on to furnish supplies to Third Army units around Bastogne and other areas.
Your boys carry on right on the road, wherever duty calls them.
Yes. Our portable machine shop, tools and equipment, all move right along with us wherever we go.
And how do you find our Midwestern boys?
Oh, they're good boys.
Thanks, Major. And now to some of those boys. One of the engineers with the group is Sergeant George Reisinger of Fort Madison, where his mother lives now. Sergeant, will you give us a brief comment about some of the things you wonder about when railroading here?
About all the things that might happen. Night work is always in blackout, so we wonder how far the track goes, how strong the bridges are, and if they are there.
How many different makes of engines have you handled?
Mostly some of our own American ones, but also France, German, and Belgium.
Comparing them with our big locomotives in the States, how are they?
Ours are best, but the Germans are pretty good too. Mainly the foreign locomotives are only half size, have less power, and poor braking.
Were you in railroad work before?
Yes, most of our men were.
All right, Sergeant Reisinger. Signalmen are also important on a line. I'd like to call on Signalman Sergeant Edward Kemmy of Cedar Rapids, who has had his experiences too. Sergeant, how high did the snow get this winter?
Sometimes nearly to the top of the poles.
What is your work?
To install and repair communications.
That's an important job. Any problems?
Earlier we had sabotage by collaborationists or Nazis.
Your wife lives in Cedar Rapids, we understand.
Yes, and I wish you'd tell her everything is okay.
We'll do that, Sergeant Kemmy. Sergeant Charles Coffin of Farmington, whose wife now lives in Marshalltown, was raised on a farm, but he's a diesel mechanic with the battalion now. Sergeant Coffin, you look as though you're feeling all right.
Yes, I'm feeling okay, but I'm plenty anxious to get home.
Of course you are. What is your work called for?
mainly to check these engines over and make necessary repairs so they will be fit for road jobs.
What's been the hardest part of your work?
During the breakthrough, engines had to keep running all the time on account of cold weather. We had no antifreeze. Repairs were made out in the weather.
Out in the snow and cold. Were you on a pretty steady shift?
Yes, I'm on 24-hour call.
What about the parts? Are they available?
Not always. That's our big trouble. We are short on parts and tools, and we have a grudge against strikers.
I can see that. After working on these different trains, I imagine ours back home will look pretty swell.
Everything back home will look swell.
What would you say if you had the chance to talk to the folks at home?
It would be hello to my wife and all the folks and best wishes.
All right, to you, Sergeant Coffin. Next, I want to call on Sergeant Lon Hamilton of Marshalltown, whose wife and baby daughter are listening in at Cedar Rapids. Sergeant Hamilton is one of the key men. He's the mess sergeant for the entire outfit, and that's what I call a job. Sergeant, briefly, what are your duties?
I'm in charge of getting food for the entire battalion. Supervise the cooks to make sure there's a daily supply of food plus a two-day reserve.
How in the world do you get this big supply of food?
By requisitioning from quartermaster dumps. We haul it to the units and trucks.
Ever encounter difficulty finding supply depots?
Especially early in the campaign when we were in Normandy. We have been on the road as high as 36 hours trying to find supplies.
As to the food, I've eaten some of it, and it's tops. Some of it tasted like good Midwestern products.
That's right. We've had pork and beef from Atumwa and Waterloo, butter from Dubuque, shell eggs from Grundy Center, cereal from Cedar Rapids, canned goods from Marshalltown and Gilman. And I could go on and on about the food we get from the folks back in Iowa.
That's great news, Sergeant Hamilton. Now, if you could, what would you say to your folks?
That I'm well, and I'm very anxious to get back. And I have some things for Cleo and Laura Lee.
Fine, Sergeant Hamilton. Now to Sergeant Arthur Burke of Waterloo, where his folks live now. Sergeant Burke is a conductor with the battalion and has been with them through rough going and smooth. Sergeant Burke, what are some of the things a conductor on a front-line supply train experiences?
Oh, it isn't bad, except it gets a little airy at times, traveling without lights when we switch to cigarette butt lights.
Do you have a pretty steady run of it at times?
There have been a few times of 48 hours without sleep, and there have been stretches of a week without relief. But the job's got to be done and get pretty cold, too, this winter.
How about the folks?
I sure wish I could have been with them for the 27th anniversary of the last of March.
We wish you could have been, too. Another Iowa man who has had an active job with the battalion in its exciting move from Normandy to the German frontier is Clyde Cooper of Manchester, where his wife and boys now live. Clyde is known to many of the folks back home for his work in the show ring, where he exhibited horses at the Iowa State Fair and Waterloo Belgian Show. Clyde, have you been seeing any good horses here?
Oh, yes, some fine Belgians here, but the Germans took a lot of the best ones.
What work have you been doing?
Engineering most of the time.
And were you with the crew on its first run from Le Mans to Brieu?
That's right, and that was the first time that we were under fire.
Have you been under fire any since then?
Several times.
When were you the most scared?
At Bastogne, where we were pushing a Belgian train. It was a typical Iowa blizzard night, and you could not see, but we heard plenty.
Another question about the livestock. Do you see much of it here?
Yes, it looks to me like there'll be a good importing business after the war.
Think about acquaintances back home, any?
Sure. Harry Lynn, J.C. Hobart, A.B. Kane, E.F. Daggett, and many others.
How long have you had that handlebar mustache?
Since Christmas.
If you could, what would you like to tell the wife and those three boys?
That I am very anxious to get back home, and I hope it won't be long.
We're all hoping that with you, Sergeant. The next boy to be interviewed is another staunch Iowa booster and is with the 9th Traffic Regulation Group in Transportation Corps. He's Sergeant Donald Lowe, whose parents live in Waterloo. Sergeant, what's your work?
I'm a railroad transportation representative.
An RTO. And as one of those who's been lost more than once in this part of the world, I can say you men are a great help. What are your duties, Don?
We regulate the movement of troops and supplies to the front, help load hospital trains, assist GI, war correspondents, refugees, and others.
Refugees make for quite a problem, don't they?
They surely do. Hundreds of them, French, Russians, Poles, and others, all speaking their native language.
What a job.
Yes, but it's one way to help the Allied cause.
What shall we tell your folks when we get back?
I'm fine, Mom. Like my work, and awfully glad to have a fellow Iowan come here. Thanks a lot, Herb.
Thanks to you, Donald Lowe. Next, I'd like to talk to a young Iowan who is generally about the most popular fellow in the outfit. He's Sergeant Garrett Gelder, whose folks live near Wellsburg. Sergeant Gelder is the cook for one detachment, and how the boys like to razz him. Sarge, what's cooking?
Sometimes it's burning.
Oh, not too much, I guess. What'll we get for breakfast?
Hot cake, bacon, almond made with those good powdered eggs.
Powdered eggs. Oh, gosh. What for dinner?
Mostly stew.
How many are at your table?
About 125 if they don't run in many extras.
What's the hardest thing to prepare?
Frozen chicken.
For your own favorite dish, what?
If I can get it, steak, french fries, and cherry cobbler.
Sounds like an after-the-war dream. Do they inspect often?
I'll say they do about every day. Sanitation is important.
Sergeant Gelder, they tell me you're about the only fellow in the Army who has ever ordered a general around.
I didn't exactly order him. I just didn't see his insignia when I told him to get out of my kitchen. I'm glad he was a good sport.
Well, I'm glad he was, too. I believe there's a girl named Gracie in Iowa who wonders about your cooking.
I sure hope she can cook better than I, or it wouldn't be good.
Well, we're sure it'll turn out all right. Private First Class Otto Ulrich, whose folks are on a farm near Gary, Minnesota, is doing electrical work. What do you work on mainly, Otto?
Mostly on diesel.
What about your mail?
It comes through pretty regular unless we move too far.
Mail is pretty important, isn't it?
It's a thing we all wait for.
And I hope all our listeners will keep on writing to you fellows. Is your dad carrying on the farm?
Yes, as best he can.
One of the boys from the 718th who has been doing an especially swell job is Sergeant John Nagel, also of Fort Madison, where his wife and folks now live, as well as his 94-year-old grandmother. Sergeant Nagel, as a conductor who has been on the job all the while, what are some of the things that have impressed you?
A lot of things have. The importance of getting supplies to our troops probably comes first, as well as moving the troops. But it's also been interesting to watch the refugees and how glad they are to get out of enemy country. Some of them look pretty tattered, and they all go after sea rations in a big way. It's an interesting job, but we really want to get this war to an end quick.
We're all with you there, Sergeant Nagel. Now, before we sign off, I want to call again on Major Wright, first of all, to thank him for this privilege, and secondly, for any closing words he may have.
Mr. Planbeck, I'm sure I speak for all the Midwestern boys when I tell you how glad we are your station, WHO, has taken this interest in our battalion. Naturally, we are pretty proud of what the 718th has done. We still have a lot more work to do, and I know I can count on all our men. Finally, I would like to close by saying that one of your Iowa boys, Sergeant John Nagel, along with 10 others in the battalion, is to be cited for the meritorious work they have done. You Iowa people can be mighty proud of Sergeant Nagel and the rest of your boys here. Thank you.
Thank you, Major Wright. It's been wonderful to have this privilege, and you can rest assured we are proud of these and the rest of our boys. It's been great to be with them, and we're all counting on their coming home soon. This is Herb Planbeck speaking from the Western Front and returning you to Des Moines.
Hello, WQV. Okay, I'm sorry it was a little scratchy, but Mr. Planbeck's been carrying that thing around his vest pocket for about 4 days now. That's right, he's been carrying it around, it's all full of dust, and I brushed it off as best I could, but that's all we could get out of it. All right, fine, that's about all we have for you. Thanks for coming up. That's right. Okay, we'll be back up at 2020. I mean, this is for OWI. We'll be back up at 2020 as per usual, and we'll see you then. No, that's all. It's the same as always every night. We just, that's right. We're on 10 megs. Okay.